Good evening. I'd like to call the House Ways and Means Committee meeting to order. Today's April 15th, 2024. Let the record reflect it's 6:03 p.m. Today we have present in the room Representative McKay, Representative McCabe, Representative Allard, Representative Groh, Representative Gray, and myself, Chair Carpenter. Please silence your cell phones so we won't be distracted. The staff today will be helping us as Lori Rowland with House Records and Zach Lawhorn with the LIO. And my staff, Ms. Broussard, will be assisting us. This evening we'll take up an amendment for House Bill 109, and we will also hear public testimony on House Bill 277, and then take up amendments. So the first item on our agenda is House Bill 109. And this is really one technical amendment that I'm going to bring forward. It changes some dates. And with that, I move amendment number one. Object for discussion. Thank you very much. If you can take a look at your amendment.
Yep.
So the amendment number one here, page 2, line 25, deletes 2024 and inserts 2025. This is the applicability language. And then page 2, line 26, deletes the same thing, 2024, inserts 2025, which is an effective date. House Bill 109 was brought forward last year, and so these dates needed to change to reflect the next year.
I'll remove my objection.
Any other further objections? Okay, then Amendment 1, Number 1 is adopted. I would like to seek the will of the committee for moving this bill out of committee. Are there any questions or comments before we do so? Representative Groh.
Mr. Chairman, thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate the hard work that you and the committee have done on looking at various steps that we need to take to address our state structural deficit. And I feel like you'd have been part of this process. I must say that this bill, standing by itself, which reduces our, in the first full year, FY25, reduces our revenues by $328 million. I want to say $328 million. Without any gains in revenue. Right, without any proposals for measures that would increase revenues, is under all the circumstances irresponsible, misguided, and short-sighted. Our constituents, the Alaskans throughout our fair state, need roads, schools, ferries, basic public safety provided by troopers, judges, prosecutors, and others. This legislation to cut the state's revenues by $328 million goes in the wrong direction. It's exactly opposite and counter to the approach of the Fiscal Policy Working Group, a body which I frequently complimented you and noted your important and effective participation in, that bipartisan body and bicameral body of legislators that worked hard in the summer of 2021 to come up with a proposal to basically save our state and fix our structural deficit, the biggest problem the state faces. This approach of $328 million lost revenues in the first year and slightly more, you know, each year going forward after that, goes to, like I said, in the opposite direction from the policy working group, but from basically the direction recommended by every other expert, essentially every other expert who's ever looked at this problem of what we need. We need revenues, a spending cap, further protection for the permanent fund, and along with all those other things, constitutionalization of the dividend, but together in a package to save our state. All things that I ran on and am for, and have introduced proposals for every one of those things, except the new dividend formula, and I'm intent on looking at that more. I just think it's worth it, Mr. Chairman, to look at this number against four other numbers. I already mentioned the Fiscal Policy Working Group. It recommended, as you well know better than me, $500 million to $775 million in new revenues every year. This, once again, is a $328 million cut the first year. We've talked a lot about the base student allocation, or BSA. The main way we provide the state's share of money for to provide schooling under a constitutional obligation to maintain the school system throughout the state. Raising the BSA by the amount requested by both the Association of School Boards across our state and my own school district, the largest one in Alaska, the Anchorage School District, raising it by $1,413 would cost approximately $2 million. Just on the order of $35 million more than the cut we're going to make here if this proposal to cut the corporate net income tax as proposed in this legislation, House Bill 109, actually became law. The other two numbers I would note are pieces of legislation that this committee has considered, and I want to thank you again for the hearings. I wish we could have gotten more progress. The revenues gained by a higher earner tax, House Bill 156, would be $120 million in its first full year. That would be FY26. It's a smaller amount because the income tax takes a little longer to get going. That's the first full year, which is FY26, the year after FY25, the year that we're building the budget for now. And then finally, my own proposal that I made last week as a proposed budget amendment on the House floor. If you take the revenues gained by raising the oil and gas property tax by 10 mils that are reserved for the state and some of the House Bill 153 that I have introduced, plus, if you also simultaneously close the S corporation loophole for oil and gas producers and transporters, that's about $450 million. If you add the higher earner tax to those two oil tax increases, you get $570 million approximately, which is well within that range of the $500 million to $775 million that the Fiscal Policy Working Group, for which you played such a critical part, said we need to eat each year in new revenues. Mr. Chairman, I understand the argument that this is going to increase business or improve the business or climate or environment in Alaska. We need to help improve our economy in all kinds of ways. But critical ways are to have good schools, good roads, reliable public safety, and all the other services that are needed to have the kind of place, environment, where businesses want to be and offer jobs and where they want to expand to. So I just see that this bill, House Bill 109, in its present form in particular, is just exactly the wrong way to go. And I hope that we can move ahead and all do better to come up and fulfill the recommendations of the Fiscal Policy Working Group, which you have been kind and generous enough to make sure that we understand here in this committee. And so based on that, as you probably have guessed, I'm going to be a no vote. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Groh. Representative McCabe, and before you start, let the record reflect that Speaker Tilton joined us at 6:08 p.m. Thank you, Madam Speaker. Representative McCabe.
Thank you. So that's a whole lot to put on a two-page bill that deals with the corporate tax rate. I mean, I heard about BSA. I heard about any one of a dozen different things or half dozen different things that are not contained in this bill. This bill simply tries to relieve the corporate income tax on corporations. In my opinion, you can charge one corporation $100, or you can charge three corporations $50 for simplicity's sake. And which one's better? Well, which one's better revenue for the state? Obviously, having three corporations with all the associated employees, the diversity, the associated resiliency of having more corporations and more business and more churn at $50 a piece is way better for the state than just having one corporation with less employees and less churn and less multiplier of money at $100. So to me, the argument that we need to charge more, charge our businesses more, we're already the third highest in the nation, the third worst place to do business, to open up a business. Why would we not want to incentivize businesses to come here to provide more revenue? I mean, we keep saying, well, it's going to cost us $340 million in lost revenue. Well, what about the revenue gained? Have we ever compared those? Do we have any estimate of how many businesses will move to Alaska and provide even more revenue? So I think the argument that, you know, we have a level base of businesses that are never going to increase, so we just have to continue to tax them, is a nonsensical argument. We have got to find ways to increase our production, our revenue, and the number of employees and businesses in Alaska. I hear continuous out-migration, out-migration, out-migration. If we continue to tax our corporations, it's only going to increase the out-migration that that has caused for a decade. So I will be a strong and solid conservative yes on this one.
Representative Gray.
Thank you, Chair Carpenter. I will be a strong and solid no on this bill. But before I say anything else, I just want to say that you are a patient, fair, and kind chair who will allow me to disagree. And I appreciate that. All of my comments are this. We cannot afford to lose $300 million in revenue. I will be a no vote. Thank you.
Representative McKay.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My feeling on this is if this will help promote additional gas production in Cook Inlet, I would be supportive of it. And we need that economic boost for the Cook Inlet area and all the jobs and all the socioeconomic positive benefits that would result from that. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Any other comments? Seeing none.
Mr. Chair, I'm going to report House Bill 109.
I got my own comments.
No, you don't get to comment. Sorry,
I have just a brief comment. I appreciate the opposition. I understand that some prevailing thoughts in the building are that we need to increase spending and therefore increase taxes. Some think that we need to take from the dividend to do so. Others think we need to have new taxes to do so. I just respectfully disagree with that. That is what is needed for the state of Alaska. Stimulating economic activity, creating jobs with that economic activity matters to Alaskans. It matters more outside this building than it matters inside this building. I don't agree that every expert agrees that income taxes need to stay high in order for governments to be funded, or that their corporate income tax reductions are not good for economic growth. I think the evidence is quite clear that if you reduce taxes on business, then you will see economic growth. So if we are going to have a continued conversation about taxes and spending within our state government, I think that stimulating economic activity as part of the solution is something that we should seriously consider. And that's why I think it's important to kick this option out to the rest of the body, rest of the legislature, for their consideration amongst other fiscal plan components that we have kicked out. And I would just like to finish my comments by saying that while I have done my best to adhere to what I thought was a fair model of reform, which is the Fiscal Policy Working Group recommendations, I'm not limited to them. I can think, in addition to Fiscal Policy Working Group recommendations, that I feel that a tax restructuring, a spending restructuring that includes tax cuts in one area and new sources of revenue in a different area is fully in keeping with recommendations that want to see economic activity. So This doesn't solve the problem, but it could be one part of the solution. Representative McCabe, do I have a motion?
Are you sure?
I am sure.
Mr. Chair, I move to report House Bill 109, version 33-LS0376/alpha out of committee as amended with individual recommendation and accompanying fiscal note.
Okay. We have an objection. The Secretary, please call the roll.
Representative Groh?
No.
Representative McKay?
Yes.
Representative McCabe?
Yes.
Representative Gray?
No.
Representative Tilton?
Yes.
Representative Allard?
Yes.
Chair Carpenter?
Yes.
5 yea, 2 nay.
So on a vote of 5 yea and 2 nay, House Bill 109 is moved out of committee, the next committee referral with as amended. We will take a brief at ease and sign the paperwork. Accompanying fiscal note. And without objection, authority is given to legislative legal to make any necessary technical and conforming changes. Now we'll take a brief at ease to sign the paperwork. Okay, we're back on the record. Next item on our agenda is House Ways and Means Committee substitute to House Bill 277. And we are going to take up public testimony right out of the gate here with this bill. So I will go ahead and open public testimony. Is there anyone in the room that wishes to testify on House Bill 277? Seeing no takers, I'm looking online to see if there are anybody wanting to talk. Nobody online. So I will close public testimony. Okay, if you wanted to provide testimony but weren't able to make it tonight, you can provide your testimony, written testimony, to house.waysandmeans@akleg.gov, and it will be added to the record. Okay, let's take up a couple amendments. Representative Gray, you want to move your amendment?
Sure. Through the chair, I move my amendment.
And for the record, that's amendment number one?
Oh, is it number one? I had yours as number one. I'm sorry. I move amendment one.
And I will object for discussion. Representative Gray, you want to tell us what your amendment is?
Sure. What my amendment does, Mr. Chair, is delete all of the language relating to collection agencies. At our previous hearing, we discussed the licensing of collection agencies in Alaska. We learned that it's a $175 fee, that it's a fairly mild paperwork burden, not too extensive, and not having your collection agency licensed can lead to some unwanted outcomes. Most of a debt collector's motivation for following the laws and procedures is the threat of losing their license. If without that, they could misrepresent the nature of debt, they could falsely claim to be an attorney. There's different things that a debt collector can do to try to scare a person into paying a fee, paying a larger fee, paying unrealistic fines related to that debt, that without them having the threat of losing their license, they might be inclined to do. We can look at a couple of other states. New York and California did not require collection agencies to be licensed. They learned the hard way that they needed to be licensed. The other thing that we learned the other night when we were asking questions was that the way that the Department of Commerce funds investigations into potential violations is through the license fees that they collect. So if we're not licensing collection agencies and the Department of Commerce is not collecting those fees, then the Department of Commerce won't have a budget to investigate the bad actors. We would be taking away the leverage of losing a license to behave correctly. and taking away the money to fund an investigation into potential bad actors. I think with our aging population in Alaska, I don't know about you, but I get lots of weird text messages and from people saying that I owe a fee or something. I mean, I get lots of weird things. And I know that folks like my mom, for example, will call those people back, will get very nervous if somebody says she owes a bill that she didn't know anything about. And my fear is that if we lose this type of licensing, that folks could be taken advantage of, and there would be no good recourse for those folks when they are taken advantage of.
Thank you, Representative Gray. Are there questions or comments regarding to the amendment? I remove my objection. Is there a further objection?
Object.
Representative McCabe, do you want to speak to your objection?
Nope.
Okay. Will the secretary please call the roll on amendment number one?
Representative Allard.
No.
Representative Groh.
Yes.
Representative McKay.
No.
Representative McCabe.
No.
Representative Gray.
Yes.
Representative Tilton.
No.
Chair Carpenter.
No.
Two yea, five nay.
So on a vote of two yea and five nay, amendment number one is not adopted. The last amendment before us is amendment number two, and this is from the chair. So I will move amendment number two.
Object for discussion.
Thank you, Representative McCabe, and ask Ms. Ardwin to put herself on the record and explain amendment number two.
For the record, Donna Ardwin, staff to Representative Carpenter. This is an amendment that, working with legislative legal services, they thought would be helpful, not necessary, but better to put it in statute. There are three places in statute that healthcare provider is defined, the first one being telehealth. They wanted to make sure for the purposes of telehealth that dispensing opticians and physicians licensed in another state are included in telehealth. The second part of this includes in healthcare provider the definition for purposes of medical malpractice. And in healthcare provider for the purposes of medical review organizations, dispensing opticians.
Any questions? No questions. Representative McCabe, do you maintain your objection?
No.
Are there any other further objections? Okay, hearing none, amendment number two is adopted by the committee. Before I seek the will of the committee, are there any comments or discussion from the committee on this bill? Hearing none, Representative McCabe, can I have a motion?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move to report House Ways and Means Committee substitute to House Bill 277, version 33-LS0905/Bravo, out of committee as amended with individual recommendations and accompanying fiscal note.
Hearing no further objection, House Ways and Means Committee substitute to House Bill 77 is reported out of committee as amended with individual recommendations and accompanying fiscal note. And without objection, authority is given to legislative legal to make any necessary technical and conforming changes. And that is the last order of business for tonight. I will ask the committee members to stick around and sign the paperwork, but we will be adjourned as of 6:30 p.m. Thank you all.